T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Here we are on a Tuesday afternoon. Mr. Darren Smith, who brought the beautiful weather from San Diego with him up to the city for the week that he is filling in with yours truly. Kept the weather hanging out with him all day today. Thank you very much, Darren.
You're welcome, Bay Area.
Really,
you're welcome.
Really appreciate it, man. This is all on you. And I tell you, it's funny. I think you brought a little baseball with you, too. And not a lot of guys from San Diego do that. Not a lot of Padre action ever really, you know, blows good baseball in our direction. I don't know if we're responsible for this, but we got decent baseball on both sides of the bridge for the first time all baseball season long. Darren, are we going to, as I eloquently, I think, described the situation yesterday, fall for the old banana in the tailpipe trick?
Whoa. First things first, though, when you say bringing baseball from San Diego, let's not forget here, Damon, just about a dozen years ago or so, there were a couple of other notable names from San Diego who came up here and brought some baseball as well.
Bruce Bochy among them.
Okay, just saying. Following in the footsteps. I'm following in the footsteps. Maybe it's a trend.
We really enjoyed Ryan Klesko, too. I got to tell you about that.
How could you forget about Alex Dickerson?
Oh, come on. Our guy.
That's our guy. Might be the comeback player of the year. I love it, too. It's a good time to be up here. I will tell you this. It's been a while since I've been over. I've been to Pac Bell. I've been to AT&T. I've not been to Oracle yet, but looking forward to getting over there Thursday night. Decent matchup there when the Giants get back into town. So looking forward to seeing, I believe that's DeGrom and Bumgarner on Thursday. So that should be solid.
The baseball might not be what it used to be, but the garlic fries are still just as delicious. And the ballpark looks fantastic. And I got to tell you, all of a sudden the baseball isn't that bad. Well, who knows what it'll be like when they get back home, because the Giants are absolutely first in line to have a great road trip and then fall flat on their face first series back in their own home ballpark. But right now, and look, you know, God, I'm not going to be the guy who just robs Giants fans of their enthusiasm. I don't want to rob any A's fan of any enthusiasm today either. We got good baseball for the first time this summer happening on both sides of the bridge. And you know what? We're going to stop and smell the roses while we have them, because we might not have them for long. Here's the deal with every single baseball season. Every team wins 60. Every team loses 60. What do you do in the other 42? Are we watching a group of games that are among those other 42 that will dictate the Giants' year? Or is this just part of the 60 that they were going to win? Because that's just kind of how baseball works. We'll know a little bit more. But what's interesting is this hope, an illusion of hope, whatever you want to call their standings in the wild card. And to me, if you're looking at this season only through the prism of the wild card standings, Darren, you are looking at the wrong part of the sports page. Like, that's really not who they are. When you have a player who, after a doubleheader and a great day at the plate over the course of a doubleheader, can put 40 points on his slugging percentage in the middle of the month of July, things have not gone well. You're probably more that than you are the guy with brand new 40 points of slugging percentage after one good day of baseball. It is up to Farhan Zaidi to not fall for the illusion of contention here. But I think it would benefit him to sell it and use it as he starts looking at what he wants to do on this deadline. He now has the ability to bluff another team in terms of Madison Bumgarner's status with the San Francisco. If this season were, oh, the ship has sailed, they're 20 games out of it in the regular standings and in the wild card, 10 back, then yeah, Madison Bumgarner can be had by anyone. Zaidi can actually turn around and say, you know, we might keep him and not be laughed out of the negotiating room.
Right. And the flip side of that coin, though, is that now you do have people that are buying in. You do have people that are starting to stare at the wild card standings and go, but it's only two. It's only 2.5. Albie's a great example. You could leapfrog how many teams within a single day, within a single series. So you are starting. I would just say it this way, and this is the way I've always looked at it. And again, I'm with you. I'm not trying to be the cold water here on anybody's wedding day. But I've always looked at the record first and then the standing second, especially as you're sitting here on July 16th. And there's a really, really important date on the calendar coming up on July 31st. So you have about 15 days to figure out what you are, especially with no Longoria. So from that standpoint, I always say, well, what are you? Are you the team that's, are you 2.5 back? Is that the way to look at it? Or are you what your record is, which is the 45-49?
We got good baseball, like I said, on both sides of the bridge for the first time in a long time. God, the A's have dropped just 5 of their last 22 games. The Giants have won 14 of their last 21. And this is good. Again, all baseball season long, there really wasn't a single reason to look over the brim of the bifocals and look up at the baseball games happening on the radio, on TV. Now, thank God, between now and football season, training camp coming and going, I'll take as much baseball as I can get between now and then. And I'm not even going to go ahead and apologize for it. Farhan is in a little bit tough spot with the fans because fans, again, get caught up in the wild card standings, have been totally bought into the concept. Look, Darren, I think you know this. In 2010, nor in 2012, nor in 2014, were the Giants the standout, clear-cut, going for it. Yeah, they're going to be champion team. They kind of like lucked into, pitched themselves backwards into championships. And look, 3 trips up Market Street was one of the coolest things I've ever seen happen in this town. You don't need to apologize for championships won, but it really allowed the Giants to hold on to a formula that eventually blew up on them as the game started changing underneath their feet. Farhan Zaidi was hired to not fall in love with the things the Giants used to fall in love with. He was brought in with his brand new calculator and his new formula, and he cannot be enamored with 3 good weeks of baseball when he has 3 years of rebuild in front of him.
I'm sure he's well-disciplined in that. That would be the old proverbial small sample size in baseball.
Yeah,
right?
small sample size in Major League Baseball.
Right, that would be exactly what that's all about. Although, again, like I said, like we were just chatting about it here in the newsroom around the station. Like, hey, how do you do this to a room full of veterans, some of whom have won you championships? How do you do this to a manager in his final year who's going to the Hall of Fame? That's going to be his next stop for Boch. How do you do that to that guy who's won you 3 World Series titles as well? What are you saying? Like, what's the message you're sending? I give the Giants a lot of credit in this regard. Yesterday was a perfect example of it, Damon, in that they clobber the Rockies in game one, and then they eke out a win 2-1 in the second game of the series. So that shows you a couple things. Number one, it takes 25 guys. It's going to take the entire roster. If you want us to clobber somebody here and continue to hit and power and pound the ball out of the ballpark, great. If you need us to pitch and go to the bullpen and turn it over, we can do that as well. So I think a little bit of pride there, playing for Boch, playing for the names that everybody knows here, whether it's Crawford yesterday, Posey, what he's been able to do the last couple of weeks. All in all, like that's they're showing you something. They're showing you something, but I'm with you. The big picture is 45-49, and you have to make a decision. Remember, the trade deadline is the actual deadline this year on the 31st. There is no waiver wire period in August. So you got to know exactly what you're going to do and who you're going to be and what your plan is and what your approach is going to be and what your strategy is here, not just for this year, but for the upcoming years in the next 15 days. No pressure.
Yeah. How will one trade deadline change the business of baseball at the deadline? Are guys going to be more aggressive? Will they be less aggressive? I mean, we're going to see this all play out like this for the very first time because there is no more waiver trade deadline. So just be ready for a hopefully exciting brand of trade deadline offered by Major League Baseball. Again, excitement. Baseball. Give me some. We want it. We've got to give it to me. It's good to see it finally happening. Where it goes, what it means, I do not know. But for the next 3-4 weeks, I'll take it. Yeah. I mean, I'll take as much interesting baseball as you can throw my way. We're going to have a Tuesday trifecta. Always a great chance for you to come on into the show. We have open lines now this hour at 888-957-9570. Have you been sold on this year one way or the other? Are you looking at a baseball team thinking that they're not going to do much, and now you think, well, they might actually do something? And that goes for both sides of the bridge. 888-957-9570. Rich Aurelia joins us at 3 o'clock. John Morosi joins us at 4 o'clock. At 5 o'clock tonight, we have a brand new NFL insider that we are going to be announcing, unveiling, and saying hello to. We're looking forward to that at 5 o'clock today. Make sure you plan on sticking around. Jerry Rice stopped by the morning show. Jerry West was a guest on the Dan Patrick Show today. We'll hear from him. Another guest on the Dan Patrick Show today was Bud Selig, who says that baseball's all-time home runs leader, as far as he's concerned, is still Henry Aaron. What an empty suit that guy has always been and apparently has dedicated himself to always being. God.
But he's a Hall of Famer, though, Damon, so you really have to respect the Hall of Famer that is Bud Selig, right? Good. Of course, because and you can take that segment off if you want, because this has been one of my wheelhouse subjects, is talking about Bud Selig in a variety of different ways. Most recently, this idiocy of who he thinks is the actual home run champ. Let's just forget what the record books say. Let's forget all of that. Let's forget that everybody remembered those moments. Let's defer to Bud Selig on this one.
Well, I'll tee that up for you in just a little bit. Tuesday Trifecta will be teed up for you at 5:30 today, and we got a fabulous show this Tuesday afternoon. It is gorgeous outside. Like I said, the baseball's actually happening on both sides of the bridge. But what does it really mean here in San Francisco for the Giants? I mean, it's a team that's looking at a trade deadline as a chance to get younger, get better. But all of a sudden, people are looking at the Giants like, is there a chance to be a contender? Again, I don't want to cut anybody's legs out from underneath them so I can feel taller about this Giants season. But just take a breath. It was a really good day in Colorado. Let's just kind of marinate in that. That was good. That was good. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't need to apologize for having a good day in Colorado. Not only did you win the pinball game, but you came back and you won 2-1 afterwards. That's good. This is good. We've got a British Open happening this week. We got Brooks Koepka and Tiger Woods talking. Anthony Davis, by the way, says he might just be a one-and-done rental for the Lakers, which, if indeed he were, makes him public enemy number one in Lakerland for the next 25 years. There is no man who is more set up to ruin the Los Angeles Lakers than Anthony Davis, if he really were to be an 82-game hey, how are you for the Los Angeles Lakers. All of that is coming up today. It's good to have you here. Rich Aurelia, John Morosi, special guest announcement at 5 o'clock, but come on, it doesn't get more special than this. Elena, hello!
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
The left field hit well. Dahl back. At the wall! Out of here!
My goodness. And he might have hit that okay, but that ball never came down. Dahl landed in the seats and just kept going. And that's what happens. Not only this altitude, but today, as hot as it is, the ball is absolutely going to jump off the bats of these hitters if they get it up in the air.
Ball was hopping at Coors Field yesterday. That was Brandon Crawford's three-run homer in the first of the first game of yesterday's doubleheader when the Giants put up 19 runs. I don't know if they're going to have a better day at the plate all year long than that. All conditions were perfect for a nice afternoon for the Giants. Brandon Crawford just yesterday put 40 points on his slugging percentage, which is kind of hard to do in the middle of July, but that's where the Giants are. Like I said, because of that, we got a little hope to sell around here. My good pal, Darren Smith from San Diego, in with me all this week. And Darren, look, you know this. Hope is the most powerful opiate to sell in sports. When you can turn around and sell hope, people We'll show up to buy it no matter whether they believe in it or not. Just the concept of hope for the hopeless sounds good. So they'll come and buy placebo hope. They'll
what
buy
are we doing
false
here?
Hope.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're doing here, right? Like, we talked yesterday about how impossible it was and how hard it is not to fall for the romanticism, specifically of Major League Baseball, when we were talking about what happened Friday night with the Angels, the game where they're all wearing the 45 jersey.
Right.
Like, so the whole reason why you are a sports fan, I mean, I understand at a time sports radio, and I've done it for 20 years, this is Damon, at times it can skew a little bit negative. We all understand that. But if you thought that this team was totally just dead and buried, there would be no reason for this conversation whatsoever. Now, I looked this up a little bit earlier with the Giants. So you tell me. Now, this year might be different than last year, obviously. But last year, the wild cards, 95 and 91 wins in the National League. Now, I won't bore everybody with the mathematics here, what the Giants have to do, other than to just point out, with 68 games remaining, they're 45-49. Maybe it'll be a little bit lower this year. Maybe everybody will continue at their current win percentage, and it'll be somewhere in the mid-80s,
right.
High 80s.
Best news they got is the National League stinks.
Boom. And that's exactly right. And they play a lot of the teams that are ahead of them. They play them. They're on the schedule. You can go and scroll through and see what they have remaining over their 68. But I'm with you. Like, why wouldn't you at least give this some thought? And I also like what you said off the top, which was this also plants a seed. The seeds of optimism are planted here locally, but the seeds of doubt might be planted nationally with teams that are thinking about making trade proposals to the Giants for Bumgarner, Smith, or whomever. Because now all of a sudden, if people hear or if it's being discussed that maybe the Giants aren't the Giants from pre-June, but that there might be a little something here, well, you know, maybe somebody feels like they got to act quickly or more aggressively, or maybe they have to offer more for some of the guys that the Giants might be willing to trade between now and July 31st. So that's a pretty good hand that Farhan has found himself with here right 15 days before the deadline.
Yeah, he might not be sitting pretty with a portion of the fan base, but this is the most powerful hold card, if you will, that he's had in a real long time. Farhan's finally in control of the hand that he's playing, or at least a little control is going to come his way, as the Giants just don't look like they're in the middle of a helpless year where it's pull the fire alarm, everybody's got to go time. Now, if you want a player, you might have to sweeten the pot a little bit if we can continue to just fall into poker analogy after poker analogy. The second wild card, again, it's that little bit of hope. There wasn't a lot I liked from Bud Selig, and there's even less today in his interview on the Dan Patrick Show, which we'll get to in just a little bit. But Bud Selig's advent of the wild card, which initially to me sounded like a bad idea, turned into a very good idea for baseball. The second wild card is as good an idea. And you could say, well, who wants to go to and perennially lose a one-game play-in? I mean, Elena, our resident A's fan, she has been down that road so many times. She's not even really interested in walking down it again right up until it's game one. And there's only one game, so it's also game seven, and it's first pitch, and this time you're not going with Liam Hendricks, and it's going to be Mike Fiers out of the chute. You know what I mean? Like, you would be a little bit more excited about that. So the notion of a team that you got a playoff shot. Might just be a nine-inning shot, but you got it. It's intoxicating.
Hey, have you seen a team go ahead and win a World Series that came and from the wild card position? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Remind me again, was there a local example? Yeah, okay. Yeah, there was, obviously, here. It wasn't just division winners. I'm with you, too, and you talked about Selig. The idea that the wild card, and a lot of – I didn't like it in its previous format where it was just four teams make the postseason. This, to me, is way better because it rewards the division winners, which adds some credibility to the regular season, and now you do get that coin flip game. But still, you're in that game, and you have an opportunity there to go ahead and play in a longer series – if you advance and if you get through it. And, you know, baseball's crazy. I mean, think about how crazy the end of last season was, especially down the stretch for teams like the Cubs, teams like the Dodgers, Rockies in the NL. I mean, you know, there's still a lot of baseball. That's the thing. Like, it's hard to know today because so much changes in August and so much changes in September. I would guarantee a year ago we look at standings and we'd be like, wow, that team was leading the NL Central. Or that team was ahead in the NL. All of a sudden, everything turns around. So when everything gets a little bit ratcheted up in August and September, that's how you know when it's time to put your foot on the gas.
The cautionary tale that I would tell any Giants fan who's, like, wondering today, all right, should we go ahead and try and do a little something here? Like, just, I mean, because you don't want to let Posey down. You don't want to let Crawford down. You don't want to let all these veterans down. You want to give Bruce Bochy at least, if not a puncher's chance, a jabber's chance in any kind of remaining goodbye of the season. I just think it's up to Zaidi to not really fall for any of that. And he is going to be cast, I think, as the bad guy, but that's why you hired him. Because he's willing to be that, to wear that black hat while people are trying to sell a little optimism.
Yep, and I'm with you. I'm with you. Because, again, I remember a general manager, a World Series winning general manager, who told me, I don't want to hear about games back or standings until we're 500 or better. So I've always adopted that principle, at least for me and how I look at it. Not that this general manager is the be-all, end-all, but still. So what would it take for you to be convinced then that the approach for the 2019 season should change? What would it take? Because here you have Colorado for a couple of more, the Mets back here for four, then the Cubs in town early next week, at the Padres, and at Philadelphia right about the trade deadline. What would it take for you at 45 and 49 to say, maybe what we thought and what we thought was a surefire bet for the Giants, maybe we need to adjust our settings a little bit.
if you're going to do anything in terms of we're going to try to step back into the serious baseball conversation, you need RBIs. You need power. You need run production. The run differential is something I always go to. And again, yesterday was a great day for run differential for the Giants. But it's something that they're going to have to address. This is not a playoff-worthy lineup. I mean, Evan Longoria right now, you're depending on Evan Longoria. What if all of a sudden this was what are they saying? Plantar fascia? What is this? Do we know? We got a little something with plantar fasciitis.
Is it 10 days? Is it longer? What do you do in the interim? Is it Pablo? Is it somebody else?
Right. I've seen this come back in a couple weeks. I've seen this stretch out to a month and a half. I've seen this go 3 months. And what's sick is Albatross Longoria is a key part of everything you're doing right now. So how are you going to look now that he is removed from the equation at one of the most important times in the equation? My cautionary tale would be 2016. What if this is just 2016 in reverse? A dyslexic 2016 where the Giants had a great first half and then after the All-Star break, they forgot how to play baseball. They forgot how to play baseball right out of spring training this year. Seemingly since around the break, it's been better. This feels like 2016 in reverse. But like you said, just looking at last year's wild card numbers, they basically, from here on out, have to play at a 1998 New York Yankees winning percentage in order to reach what was the norm last year. And I just don't think they do it.
Because if you're getting a 90, that means you got to win 45 of your next 68.
Which is cooking.
Yeah.
Cooking.
Yeah. I mean, those are some of the most historic runs that we've seen in baseball. Like, that's Colorado Rockies 2007.
Rocktober.
Yeah, that's Rocktober. Exactly what that is. So what if there? So let me ask you another hypothetical, because, you know, I won't be up here, but you'll be up here. And I ask, like, what would it take for you to change, for you to chart a different course with the Giants? What if they're over 500 in 10 days?
No. No. I'm still saying that you're holding on to something that even if you were to squeeze another drop out of it this year, you're going to be thirsty again next year.
So you want to cash in?
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to go to the window, turn in these chips, sleep it off, come back tomorrow. It really is. And that's what Zaidi was brought in to do. Zaidi was brought here to not fall in love with the situation as it was developing. He was here to be the guy who was cold, callous, calculating. Forget about what you're doing for me today. What are you going to do for me tomorrow?
But can't we also say this about him, that he also has at least contributed to this run? Some of these players here were players that he's responsible for bringing in. So
Kevin Pillar is the Giants MVP
right
now.
So some of those players, we can't say that this is all inherited properties for him. Some of this, even if it's just bit players, comparatively speaking, of course.
Right.
But can't we say that there's at least some of him that contributed to the turnaround from the first couple of months of the season?
Absolutely. Every single lever that
just pull the plug on everything like some of these teams do when they're trying to rebuild, right. Damon. Like they didn't just say goodbye to everybody. He at least did things, brought players in who contributed to this run of success that they're on.
Every lever that he's pulled, if he doesn't get results out of it, he pulls another lever quickly. And that is such a different way of doing business than what we were used to in San Francisco, where the clock ever really – like. Prospects were stuck in the clock that never really started ticking or weren't good enough to be here to really start that ticking clock to begin with. Or even though you were optimistic about who they might be, they fall flat quickly and the Giants lose faith quickly. And, you know, Zaidi is doing it the right way. When he needs to juggle as fast and as quickly and as many balls as possible, he's done a very good job at that. 888-957-9570. This is Rich in Los Altos. Hello, Rich.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you today. Damon, it seems like whenever I'm listening, which is always when I'm driving around, I agree. And then whenever I'm sitting on my lazy butt to call in, I disagree. So here we go. I think I was skeptical bringing in an outsider like Zaidi, and I still am. Nothing personal against him, but because I thought this might happen. I mean, I don't know. How come the Yankees, Rangers, Red Sox, how come they're always buyers? How come if they were in this spot, they'd go out and add a couple pitchers and do this and that, and if it all goes to hell, who cares? Try it again next year. Why can't the Giants do that? Financially, they can do it. The fan base loves the Giants. I mean, I don't want to bash the A's, but that's what happens in Oakland, that small-time stuff. So So I don't know this whole movement. Like, what argument are we trying to see? Let's go watch it. Let's go take a couple years off and watch Scrubs play. I mean, I just think there's a few baseball teams that don't have to do this, and I want Giants in that group.
Well, look, Rich, I think I wanted the Giants in that group too, but and I think they wanted to be there. But you better be the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, or Cubs if you want to behave like the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, or Cubs. The Giants since 2010 have been printing their own money. I mean, there's no doubt.
And they've been spending a lot of money like those teams that you just mentioned as well.
The ballpark has been paid off. They have thrown so much money at a bad season of baseball that you can't say that they haven't spent. They have chased, unfortunately, they've just chased bad money with more bad money. And you can say a lot about the Giants. You can't call them cheap. You can't say they're not spending like a team that's trying to contend. Would you have Albie? I don't know if you printed it out, if it got on the stack, but Albie was showing me this website that basically had all the contending, all the top payrolls in baseball, like six of the top eight payrolls in baseball, they're all contending. The Giants are among them, but they're, you know, technically now one of them, but maybe they're not really one of them. So there is something to say for if you spend X amount of money, you might be a contender, because here we are 32 minutes into the show talking about, hey, this team is, you know, mathematically contending, if not actually contending right now. So you could say the Giants have bought their way into this conversation, but is there really a there? And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're asking you about. And that's ultimately what we're asking Farhan Zaidi. Is there anything to mine out of the 2019 season? If you think, yeah, we could mine a singular playoff game, I don't know if that's X marks the spot enough for the San Francisco Giants anymore. I mean, didn't three World Series sort of raise the bar of who you want to be?
Of course.
A one-game playoff appearance, as great as it is to be in the playoffs, that's not the goal anymore. That's no longer the X marks the spot.
But let's also remember a couple of things, because with respect to the caller there, he brings up, hey, the Yankees are never. And you and I were talking about this yesterday, I think it was, when we were talking about the Yankees trading Aroldis Chapman to the Cubs and getting back Gleyber Torres and then re-signing Aroldis Chapman, because we were having a hypothetical about, well, why wouldn't you at least consider that with Madison Bumgarner? So it's not like the Yankees never trade, or that the Yankees never get rid of players. It's not like some of these teams that we're all talking about here never go that direction. It took the Cubs forever to build what it was under their current iteration. So, like, that's true, but it's, you know, there are teams, we've seen examples, and we can go further into that if we want, of teams that we would put at the top end of the payroll spectrum here, which has said, like, okay, we're going to cash this in, we're going to see what we can get for this. And I feel like there's at least some fair conversation about the Giants being one of those in that regard, other than, well, they never trade any of their players, because that's not 100% true.
What are they going to do with Madison Bumgarner? Who's interested? Might the Giants become more interested in holding on to him than trading him? Does their recent run of success up the ante for any pitch another team would make? A deal for Bumgarner? I would think the answer to that question would be yes. Zaidi, again, doesn't... If Zaidi was planning bluffing anyone, it's easier for him to bluff now. This is an easier poker game for him to play with other front office GMs. But, you know, look at who he's playing now with. A few weeks ago, John Morosi, who, by the way, is going to join us at 4 o'clock, had the Milwaukee Brewers pretty much first in line for a Madison Bumgarner conversation. The way that the Brewers are leaking oil right now, I wonder if they still fancy themselves as aggressive at the upcoming deadline as they did 3-4 weeks ago. They've been losing a lot of baseball games. Now, they've also made major investments. They got an MVP candidate in Yelich. They're not going to want to back away. But at the same time, Milwaukee's one of those markets that can't, we're going to go in all in on this hand and we're just going to rebuy next year if we crap out. That's just not who they are. They don't have the financial resources.
Yeah, I think it's also this from Farhan as well. And yeah, he was the general manager in Los Angeles in title, but this is different. This is a different situation now where he's sitting in the captain's chair. And I think that there's something to being in this position. Thankfully, the team has played itself into this conversation, which as crazy as it might sound for some, being four games under 500 with five or six teams in the wild card, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven teams ahead of them in the wild card standings. that you're actually having this 15 days before the deadline. But yeah, he also has to try to decide what calls he's going to field and not. You know, if this were 2 months ago, like you said, you're taking away a little bit of leverage. And there are teams out there. These general managers are all a bunch of sharks. They're all trying to call and say, hey, come on, like, how much leverage do you have? We know you have to do this. So from that position here where, you know, he doesn't have to give anything up if he's just getting bad deal after bad deal after bad deal, which would have been the case pre-June Giants. Like, that's a much improved position to be in, if nothing else.
Let me just straight up ask Giants fans listening, what do you want out of this year? Do you want token contention? Do you want a full rebuild? Would you like Zaidi to be aggressive here? Would you like him to absolutely just punt on 2019? You don't care what happens over the next 10 days. You know who this is? This is the Chicago White Sox personified. The Chicago White Sox will be right on the edge of, are we good? Are we bad? And they'll sell it all. Zaidi might owe that to himself since he has to restock this cupboard to rebuild the team in his image. Giants fans, have you been sucked back in? Have you been sucked back in? And do you feel that there is a percentage of Giants fans who are unrealistic that Zaidi needs to, like, ignore? Like, you're convinced that even though things have been a little bit more interesting lately than they were 2 months ago, it's a mirage. Don't buy it. 888-957-9570 is the number. You can hit us on Twitter at Damon Bruce. What are you, at D Smith Show?
At D Smith Show.
There you go. You can hit both of us there, 888-957-9570. Today at 5 o'clock, we have a major, major NFL announcement. A great contributor will be joining us exclusively Tuesdays at 5 o'clock. We've got a Tuesday trifecta today at 5:30. John Morosi is going to join us at 4 o'clock. Richie Aurelia coming up at 3 o'clock as well. We're looking forward to all of that.
Where did Richie Aurelia go to college again? I forgot.
Where did Richie Aurelia go?
Where did
is he? LSU guy? I forget. What?
Come on.
No, I don't know.
You don't know where Richie Aurelia went to college?
Off the top of my head, no. I don't know where 90% of major leaguers went to
college.
Oh, it's a St. John's guy. Excuse me. It's a St. John's guy.
You know where I went to college?
No sleep till Brooklyn. It's actually in Queens.
Because it matters. It's Queens.
Let's
Jamaica,
get right.
Please.
Yeah, but Richie's walk-up music was No Sleep Till Brooklyn, which was solid.
That's his guy.
It's a solid, solid, solid walk-up song. Bud Selig today on the Dan Patrick Show sucked an egg, if you don't mind me saying. Talking about Barry Bonds being the home run king and how hard it was for him to watch it happen.
It didn't feel good at all. It's one of the most difficult. I know I had a go. And you know that Hank Aaron and I have been really close friends for 62 years now. In fact, I saw him in Atlanta last week, and we sat and talked about some of this stuff. But how did it feel? Not very good.
Oh, it didn't feel good. If only you had been the commissioner and could have done something about it, you empty suit joke of a leader.
I'm telling you, man. Bud Selig was an unwelcome guest at the dinner table before this book tour, and now I want him locked out of the house. I can't believe this guy's in the Hall of Fame, but the players who he's now trying to burn down are not in the Hall of Fame. Listen to this.
Who do you consider the all-time home run king?
Well, I've never really answered that, but I will say this to you. In my mind, even though Bonds holds the record, and I've said records are records, I think you know how I feel about Henry Aaron.
So Henry Aaron's the all-time home run king, in your opinion?
Yes.
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 Meek little weak, yes. Just thrown on the table with all the power of a doily. Just, I mean, yes. Oh, you obviously have so much conviction. God, this
oh,
guy.
Oh, it pains me to say yes. Oh. Yes.
Yes. Oh, Barry. Barry ruins it all. So, if I could quote Ray Ratto, when will we be refunded? Every single memorabilia that we bought, everything. Look, here's the thing about records. Your opinion no longer matters. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion, mm-hmm. but not their own facts. This is a fact. Barry Bonds is the reigning home run king for Major League Baseball. Any other answer is the wrong answer to the question of who is baseball's home run king. Don't like it? Who cares? Who cares? Damon, it offends me that Barry Bonds, you do not have the right to an unoffended life, you safe space douchebags. God, I can't stand this guy. And I love that you can't stand him either.
Yeah,
and
I've got a much longer list of reasons and grievances against Bud Selig. But in this specific case, why are you in the Hall of Fame? You're in the Hall of Fame because the way out of the 94 strike and cancellation of the World Series was all the money that was generated based on the players who were doing these things, who were hitting these home runs. We all understand that. So he gets to go and cruise into the Hall of Fame. And it sounds more like he's just sticking up. He's not speaking as the commissioner. He's speaking as Hank Aaron's buddy
in
this case. Like, it bothers me because, not because I'm the commissioner and a lot of things happen on my watch and there's controversy everywhere I go and I played shell games with different ownership groups and I allowed certain things to happen here that were nefarious, to put it mildly. But also, I've known Hank Aaron for 62 years and I'm just disappointed because my buddy isn't the all-time home run champ anymore.
By the way, speaking of his buddies, the amount of his buddies, his cronies that got Major League Baseball slices of the pie, that right there probably deserves an investigation.
Yep.
Can we open up the books on Bud Selig to see what a crook he might have been? I'm interested in taking a look at that. I need some investigatory journalism. I don't know if we're going to get any of that from Rich Aurelia at 3 o'clock, but at 4 o'clock, John Morosi is going to join us. A major special guest announcement added to the 95.7 NFL lineup at 5 o'clock today in a Tuesday trifecta. All coming up courtesy of Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Posey drives one. Center field, hit well. Desmond back, looking up. It is out of here.
Just one of those days for the Giants offense.
Kipe with a call on NBC Sports. Fifth home run of the season for Buster Posey. He's now got 28 RBI on the year. Neither of those numbers is impressive. It's been a rough year for Posey, to say the least, but like so many San Francisco Giants, they woke up yesterday in the hot sun of Colorado, the rarefied air at Coors Field. The Giants are now first in baseball in home runs and runs scored in the month of July. Again, this is a weird sport, kids. It really is. It's a very, very weird sport at times. The Giants are enjoying either a statistical anomaly right now, or they actually got a little something going. Unfortunately, they're home run and, well, not RBI leader. Where is Longoria in terms of RBI? Yeah, he's third on the team. Second, tied for second on the team with Crawford. Pillar is first with 50. My God, that Pillar deal. Thank God that they made it. Longoria's 13 home runs. What is this foot going to look like? And might his absence be what takes you away from, you know, a little hot streak, a little bit of power right here and now?
And now what? Now what at third base specifically? You
put
Pablo out there every day?
I guess so.
Till further notice, you got somebody in AAA who you can call up, who can give you a little bit of a spell. Or Solano, is that somebody who you can think about if you're going to put him at the hot car? I mean, that's a pretty important position, especially for an injury, which traditionally in any sport has had a very undefined timeline for return.
A's fans, I think what unlocks your year is a little pitching help as you look at the Giants, who are selling two significant pitchers at the deadline, if that's the way it goes. If you're David Forst, if you're Billy Beane, do you give the Giants a call? I think Farhan Zaidi's got a better chance of making a deal with you than any other GM who's been in the Giants GM's office in a real long time. Zaidi's got his connection to the A's, and I also think that Zaidi's got a even deeper and stronger connection to the right deal.
Well, do you think they called the Giants before they called for Homer Bailey? I mean, I know that those two names don't belong in the same sentence. Please, I know I'm not from here, but I'm not that stupid. That said, if you're calling around, if you're making the rounds, if you're calling other general managers, you know, I don't think that the first call that you made was to go and inquire about Homer Bailey. So I wonder who else they might have called and what other names they might have been searching for, because we know what the names are. It's Stroman and Syndergaard to a certain extent, with Morosi, we'll talk about that. Bumgarner's name has been out there. So you just sort of wonder, like how crazy would that be, the idea that he would just go across the Bay Bridge and then all of a sudden put on the A's uniform?
God, that would be... I tell you, it would be
worth a phone call, wouldn't it?
It would be stinging at the same time. It would be so interesting. It would be so interesting to see that happen. Could you imagine Bumgarner going to pitch the rest of this year for the A's?
Can you? I mean,
no. I mean, I really, I don't think I can. But God, that would just be insane.
They would probably. I don't know that it would not originate from East Bay. Like, I wonder how much hesitation there would be from the Giants, though. Like, you obviously, you know,
plenty
a million
of,
times.
Yeah, look, I mean, the Giants live to deny the A's sunlight.
Yeah.
Or actually, they really don't. It just feels and looks that way because the A's are so bad at finding sunlight on their own.
And you know who the big winner of that trade would be? Not that it's ever going to happen.
This show?
95.7 The Game.
There you go.
Damon Bruce. Right? I mean, that would make your summer.
That'd be good.
If I were to give you a little pixie dust and say, hey, sprinkle it around here, Damon, what would you like to see happen? I'm just going to take a guess that that would be one of those moves that you would say, man, I could only go to bed at night dreaming of such a thing, but it's never going
to
happen.
Darren, it gets us to week one. That's for sure, right? I mean, no doubt. Steven in Vallejo. Steven, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. I've been probably one of the most optimistic fans as far as this Giants team go. I've been a fan for, gosh, 30 years. But, you know, I look for positives, even in losses. This team always fights. It always competes. And that's pretty much what I've wanted out of this season. Whether they win or lose, as long as they don't give up and throw in the towel. What I want for the rest of the season, I want Boch to get 2K. I don't want Bumgarner to get traded. And I definitely don't think he's going to the A's. He won't wear white cleats. And that's what I got.
I mean, I guess you could rock green cleats or some yellow cleats, gold cleats. Text line says, you know, Damon, don't forget Zito came this way. But, yeah, as a free agent, mm-hmm. he came this way. $126 million will lead anybody pretty much to the shores of China Basin. So, interesting stuff. We got Rich Aurelia joining us, 95.7 The Game Giants analyst. You see him over on NBC Sports Bay Area, Richie, at the top of the hour. Want to get back to Bud Selig's appearance on the Dan Patrick Show today, where he went into how Hank Aaron really, truly, actually felt about Barry Bonds.
Like he always does. He accepted it. He didn't say much. He was quiet. He and I talked about it when the Giants called me and asked for Hank to cut a video when Barry, okay, he didn't want to do it, but he and I talked about it, and it's a fact. He would tell you if he was on the show. I said, Henry, in your entire life, since I've known you, it was back to 1958, you've always done the right thing. Just cut something. And he did, and it was really good, and I'm glad he did it.
Hey, I don't blame Henry Aaron for feeling like he might have lost a little something that night. Mm-hmm. And I was in the ballpark, and I saw the video that Henry Aaron cut, and it was matter of fact, but it was respectful of the moment. It struck an appropriate tone, one that I honestly didn't even think really needed to be. Like, there wasn't a single Giant fan the minute Barry's ball cleared the outfield fence who said, boy, I wonder what Henry Aaron feels about this. No, who cared but Bud Selig, to be totally honest with you.
And what a good friend Bud Selig is, too. So first he convinces his lifelong friend, Henry Aaron. They go back 62 years, Damon. I don't know if you picked up on that. But at first he convinces him to do this thing that he doesn't want to do. And then he tells the world that this is the thing that this guy didn't want to do. Right? I mean, like, just
right, way to have your friend's back.
Way to have his back here. Number one, you ask him to do something and say, oh, come on, like you just heard it. Come on, do it. You're going to do it really, really well. You've always done the right thing. Do the right thing here. So he convinces him to do this, and then a decade later, he rats him out. Well, more than a decade. Yeah, about a decade later, he rats him out, and he says, yeah, he never really wanted to do that anyway. Well, thanks. You know, now today, instead of everybody just being singularly ticked off at Selig, now all of a sudden, unfortunately, you got to lump Henry Aaron into this as well.
Somebody said on the text line, you know, Dan Patrick didn't exactly do a very good job holding Bud Selig to task in this interview. Well, it's probably because what Bud Selig said hits Dan Patrick's ears well. I don't think Dan Patrick is enamored with what Barry Bonds did. I don't think he's a fan of it. I think he's pretty much on the record mm-hmm. that he should not be in the Hall of Fame. And the line of questioning about Bonds in the Hall of Fame continued again. Bud Selig on the Dan Patrick Show this afternoon.
That's the one I will not answer because what I've said.
Oh, by the way, the question was, does Barry belong in the Hall?
That's the one I will not answer because what I've said is I did everything I could do. Remember this, Dan, and I don't have to tell you this. Baseball not only didn't have a drug testing program, we went through the cocaine era. Serious problem in the 80s. Pittsburgh drug trial. 29 guys get convicted. 4 go to jail. Yeah. And they couldn't get a drug program. I'm proud of where we are, but I'm going to let the writers decide that.
You punt on an awful lot of things for a guy who, again, was supposed to be in charge of it all.
But as a baseball fan, Barry Bonds shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame then if he cheated. I mean,
you're a fan and you're entitled to that opinion, and I understand that.
Same with Roger Clemens. You don't want to answer.
I don't want to answer.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever asked Barry if he thinks that Bud Selig should be in the Hall of Fame?
That'd be a fascinating answer.
Yeah, I mean, sort of kind of curious now that we brought it up here, since Bud doesn't want to go down that road. I've never really understood this, and it's not that I'm naive to everything that was going on. But for me, Damon, like, writers are journalists, right? Purportedly, these are journalists, and journalists deal in facts. And facts don't suggest that you should just randomly keep certain players out of the Hall of Fame while you're allowing others in. I've never really understood this at all. Like, come one, come all, for me, if you're dealing in facts, do your job as a journalist and deal with the facts, not the speculation and not what you think happened. Just deal with what we know.
Pudge Rodriguez deflated like a balloon when he retired from the game. I mean, he clearly was on something, then was not on something, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Again, it's selective outrage, and the outrage was always placed on Barry. Look, I think when it comes to Bud Selig talking about all this stuff, and somebody here on the text line's like, dude, that guy's a used car salesman through and through. And true, true, true. No doubt about it. He really is. You know who's not allowed to complain about the lawlessness of this town? The sheriff.
Yeah.
Bud Selig was the sheriff of it all. And he's telling us how, boy, outlaws ran amok on his watch, and he wished that he could have done something about it. You could have done something about it. I don't know what that something was, but if Henry Aaron was truly the home run leader, which he was, you owed your buddy better than hands in the pocket. You know what real leaders do? They do not wait around, nor do they ask permission to lead. If you really thought baseball's record book was being assaulted by a baseball criminal, you should have suspended his ass and had the players' union drag you all the way to the frickin' Supreme Court if it meant that much to you.
And just remember, Bud's the only one who's allowed to capitalize and gain entry into the Hall of Fame based on an era that everybody knows existed and nobody is naive to. Just remember that. He's allowed to capitalize on that, but nobody else is.
I've said this time and time again. The only reason why steroids were in Major League Baseball at that time is because Bud Selig needed them there. He wanted them there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.